Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass engineering our show today. It is Friday, March 12th, 2015. Hope you had a great day. Looking forward to a wonderful weekend. We're live on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and we stream our show. We have it podcast for you anywhere in the world listening at buckmastershow.com. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, The Green Valley News, and Sahuarita Sun, and TucsonLifestyle.com. Our Friday Focus interview today is with United States Representative Raul Grijalva. Joining me to question the congressman is Jim Nintzel, senior writer of the Tucson Weekly, and he's host of the new, relatively new TV show called Zona Politics on Channel 9 at 9 on Sunday morning. If you'd like to join in the conversation, 790-2040 is the Buckmaster Show live line. Also, you can become, and we welcome you to become one of our friends on Facebook. Jim Nintzel, how are you?
Very good, Bill.
Good to see you. And Congressman, thanks for coming by.
Thank you. And at the outset, let me, I was really late at the last time you scheduled me.
Yeah, what was that? Theme music was up. You came in about 5 minutes at least after the show had started.
At least.
Was I upset? No.
Well, I'll be the judge of that. And I think you were upset.
Well, no.
And I apologize
for that. Well, anyway, you got here plenty of time today.
I was nearly late. I'll cop to
okay,
that.
I
was a little worried, but I put pedal to the metal. Got here.
All right.
Nobody was hurt.
Everybody's here. Congressman, you just came from a news conference. You're speaking out against these budget cuts. Governor Ducey signed the budget yesterday, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, the $9.1 billion
budget with some pretty deep cuts to K-12 or the university systems, almost $100 million in cuts to them. The community colleges in Pima and Maricopa lost all their state funding.
Yeah, Pima was zeroed out.
And
yeah.
Per pupil funding has certainly dropped here in the state, and they didn't really apply the full inflation factor to the education, but they are claiming that they're spending more on education than ever before in the state.
What do you think, Congressman?
Right now for education, and in particular public education, that includes the land-grant colleges and the community colleges, there's a perfect storm with a bill that's pending but was pulled by from the floor in Congress, H.R. 5, which is basically elementary and secondary education. One district, TUSD, and it includes Sunnyside, Amphi, Flowing Wells, Vail, all of them. TUSD alone in over a five-year period is going to lose $33 million in federal support. That, and it's going to be block grant. The intention was to block grant it to the state with those reductions, take away any categorical protections, i.e. the money that historically for 50 years has gone to those kids with the greatest need, economic and academic, Title I, and elimination, which I think is the most short-sighted thing in the world, especially for a state like Arizona, elimination of Title III, which is the support services and resources to help kids learn English. It goes on and on and on. And then you couple that with the state beginning the process of dismantling. This is 2009, 2010, 2007, these things, reductions occurred. We're the fourth lowest in per pupil in the country in terms of expenditures for kids, and we wonder where we're not attracting high tech and high industry that needs a workforce to be able to do that. And I would say that's the root of it. Then you see that one out of every four kids in Arizona, if not more, is on free or reduced lunch. And 50%, more than half of the children that entered kindergarten this year were children of color. So there's a demographic shift going on. This is a time for investment, for the economic well-being and social well-being of the state and the country. And now you see this storm in which you're going to get hit by both sides. And for the first time, mandated in this bill, is that the percentage of the federal funds that go to the state must be used to pay for private for-profit schools. It's more than the nose and the door. This is a huge step because you're now mandating it by law. Okay. So,
did you say that it, rather than distribute the money to school districts, they're looking at giving the money to the state, and then the state would
The formula, then the state would have that overall responsibility of formalizing that money. And with Title I, which was intended for poor kids, with no categorical definition on how it should be used, the criteria is that a school or a district must have 40% school, then you get some additional assistance because it's a concentration of need. With no criteria, the latitude then becomes out of the state. With no criteria as to how you teach kids English, the latitude that becomes out of the state, whether it's mandated or not. Everybody agreed that No Child Left Behind was broken and had not done its job. It became a testing regimen and not an education. We tested for purposes of reward and punishment to schools and school districts, but we didn't test for accountability to help those teachers in that school improve how they're going to get their kids up to standards. I believe in accountability, but it's a tool. It shouldn't be the instrument of reward and punishment. We all agreed, bipartisan, that it had to be changed. The direction it went to was not only change that, but eliminate any federal role at all in terms of protecting this class of kids. It passed on a straight party voting committee. It got pulled from the floor because, just like happened in Homeland Security, the more strident and extremist cadre that's inside the Republican caucus felt that it didn't go deep enough or far enough.
And where's the Obama administration on this legislation? Do you get any sense of where they are?
Well, we feel that those of us that think and believe that this is a piece of legislation with horrible consequences for the future, we're pressuring the White House that if this is the type of bill he gets, they have to veto it. Initially, there was an indication that the president would veto that. But the president's big initiative in this whole discussion is universal pre-K, which is a good thing. The concern many of us have is that becomes part of the package and funding is diverted from other things to that, then we don't know if the Department of Education, i.e. the administration, would go along with the other things that I pointed out that I think are detrimental in the long haul. So the answer is a no as the bill stands now. There's compromise discussion in the Senate, and I don't know what the president would do with the Senate version.
You mentioned that universal pre-K funding, and that seems to be the next big initiative coming from Democrats in general, along the lines of the health care reform. Now that there's a big push, and do you think that's important? And if so, why?
Yeah, it's critical. I mean, in my state here, I visited Fowler School District, Fowler Elementary up in Maricopa, and that part of the District 3 Head Start program, 10 years, and they've kept longitudinal. They've been measuring these kids, high attendance, great retention in the high school, high graduation rate, and it proves that if you get these babies, especially those babies that are not going to have an opportunity to experience because of the incomes of their parents or the situation in their home, a pre-K experience going to kindergarten and first grade to get them on the right path, they did great. These kids did great, and what I found fascinating about it, that the whole curriculum revolves around art. I went into one room in which four-year-olds, their study issue was Van Gogh. I asked the teacher, because they had a portrait of him, I said, "Oh, you got the side with the ear." And and she said, "Shh, we don't talk about that with the baby."
Side with the ear.
I think that's smart in case there's any sharp instruments around the classroom.
And so my point being that pre-K is essential. I don't think you eliminate Head Start and consolidate all those programs in order to meet the funding. It's the same fantasy world that Ducey's living in that the governor of Kansas is living in, and eventually it'll catch up to the governor in Wisconsin, that we continue to cut taxes, corporate, individual, income, and then continue on the other end to eliminate, reduce, and cut programs.
All right.
Eventually, that fantasy doesn't work if you have no revenue. Eventually, government and valuable government programs disappear.
Need to take a break, but I'll give you 1 minute to answer this one. Common Core seems to be being dismantled at the state legislature. Your thoughts?
It's kind of interesting because many of the proponents and supporters of Ducey were big Common Core promoters all over the place. And then at some point during the election, you realize that that wasn't the most feasible primary and Republican position to be taking, and he became an opponent of Common Core. I think that he's still a proponent. The universality of that kind of standards and preparation, well, everybody wants standards. I still believe that if you're going to have accountability, you have to also provide local school districts with a tad of flexibility in order for them to adjust to the uniqueness of the student bodies that they're working with. A one-size-fits-all common core in the extreme, I don't think would be a good thing. Common Core with flexibility, with standards that school districts can adjust to their student population, I think that's worth pursuing.
All right, Congressman Raul Grijalva with us, 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. Jim Nintzel sticks around. We have another segment with the congressman. If there's anything you heard the congressman say that perhaps you don't agree with, he's always a good sport. I'd like to hear from you. 790-2040. Let him know how you feel. That's what he's here for. We'll be right back.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle wind.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847. See the world under glass at Biosphere 2. Step inside this living laboratory to explore how today's biggest environmental questions are being answered and enjoy the view. Experience the new Ocean Gallery, featuring the Return to the Sea of Cortez exhibit. Bigger questions, better answers. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2. Open daily. Visit biosphere2.org for details.
Got her daddy's car and she cruised.
Very nice, Tom, featuring the Beach Boys here on the Buckmaster Show. Every Friday we kind of feature a different 60s group. Congressman Grijalva, you remember some of that Beach Boy music, don't you, from growing up?
I do. I was more of a Rolling Stones guy.
Uh-huh.
But weren't
into the surfing, safari, and all
but
that.
But the Pioneer album the Beach Boys did, I think, set a standard for all the groups that...
Mm-hmm. Jim Nitzel here, also from the Tucson Weekly. Jim is a little bit young to remember the Beach Boys taking off.
I did not experience them taking off, but you know, they've been around as long as I've been alive.
50 years. I think they had a 50-year reunion.
They did, and certainly some amazing musical talent and as the congressman said, breakthroughs that a lot of people followed afterwards.
Congressman, you were one of about 50 or so United States representatives that did not attend the Netanyahu address to Congress. Did you get any blowback on that?
No, but yeah, I received criticism that
you were anti-Israel,
that I didn't support the existence of the State of Israel, that I didn't appreciate, understand the suffering and the horror of Jewish people that they went through, both wrong and false, but you know, the issue, it ratcheted up to be an emotional issue, and it continues to be. It was the time that AIPAC was in D.C., and so a lot of activists from across the country and a lot of activists that support the prime minister and his party in Israel. It's interesting. The activists, like you know, AIPAC is probably more conservative than half the population in Israel in terms of how they vote and what's going on. But having said that, you know, they're advocate group for Israel. Everybody, I support its sovereignty and its right to exist, and have voted for all the support, military and otherwise, that Israel needs. I just thought that this was such a blatant political move and a horrible snub, an insult to the president, unprecedented, where you went straight to the Republican speaker, and more this prime minister is cited and aligned himself with the Republicans in Congress. The last election, presidential, in this instant. And so he went directly, and that's what happened, and never consulted the protocol, which is State Department, President, and then it's done. And nobody's ever been denied the opportunity. Mm-hmm. It's just a protocol issue. And then the 47 senators signed the letter.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. What was your reaction to the 47 senators in signing this letter? And also, what do you think about the Obama administration's negotiations with Iran?
When I was visited by some of the activists, there's a letter that was circulating, which essentially asked members to sign in Congress to say if this isn't part of a negotiated agreement, then we can't support it. I said, no, I want to see the results of the work. You know, that's a diplomatic initiative. That with Iran, of all countries, do we trust them? Do we know their history? Of course. And it's and there's a lot of vileness in what they've done and how they exported some of their beliefs and extremism to other parts of the Middle East. But the fact remains that if there is a diplomatic way with the support of major countries and the United Nations to begin the process of verification and prevention and of acquiring the capacity for nuclear weapons and military force, then I say run its course. And I think that letter 47 basically says no. If you read the content of the letter, that it basically says that these negotiations shouldn't happen. And as the Prime Minister said at the close of his speech, a bad treaty is better than no treaty, or the other way around.
No treaty is better than a bad treaty.
And the point being that if diplomacy can work in this very, very delicate instance, I think we should use it. What's the alternative? Nobody answered me that question. What happens? You undercut the president. Commander-in-Chief in the middle of a negotiations, that's what that letter did as well. And what's the alternative? Ratchet up the sanctions and use military force to ensure you degrade any ability make nuclear weapons and essentially engage once more in combat. I think that's the only alternative left. I want to explore this one to the fullest, and as I told the AIPAC representatives, if they would show me the regard to allow me to look at it and come to some conclusions of what the content is.
As long as we're talking about military in the Middle East, what about the authorization of military force against the forces of ISIS?
That's still out there. Waiting for it. I agree with the premise that Congress needs to be involved in this decision. I don't think open-ended resolutions that go on for 15 years, as we did in Iraq and Afghanistan, without Congress's constitutional right to declare war and to be at the foot of that decision, I think that's been wrong all along. So I'm glad it's coming to Congress. I think the president's open-ended request is too open-ended. No time limits. I think there has to be a time clock. There has to be a specific, no boots on the ground in a straight up military capacity in battle until that portion of it is done. The regional coalition and the resource base needed in order to combat ISIS. Support that initiative, but I don't support a resolution that's open-ended that leaves open for combat troops. And once again, for ourselves to be in that position where we are leading the fight as opposed to supporting the fight. I don't think we can, that region, we've already learned from Iraq and Afghanistan, the inconsistency with Turkey and Pakistan, that while we are players there, significant, I don't think we can lead as a policeman in that region and think that we're going to reach. It's ironic that Iran seems to be the one taking the fight to ISIS on the ground, and in a funny way, in a kind of ironic way, I guess, they become allies.
It's tough to sort out who your friends are and who your friends aren't over there.
And that's the history of the region.
We're going to have to run here. Quickly, though, Congressman, how are you getting along with Congresswoman Martha McSally, the freshman representative from Southern Arizona?
When it became evident that she was the winner, I called and congratulated her, had an opportunity to have a brief chat in her office, and I gave the example of when Jim Colby was there. Jim Colby and I disagreed on many things, Social Security, name it. A lot of things to disagree on. But when it came to Southern Arizona and the need to look at transportation, institutions of higher learning, some of the beautiful areas that we have in terms of conservation and preservation of our lands, that we were able to seamlessly work together. So I think the point is that we're going to disagree, but I think there's some common ground that I'm hopeful we'll be able to work on. The problem in Congress, and I don't see her as the type, is that if you don't agree with a colleague, it becomes personal. And hopefully our initial meeting is to realize that it can't be that, because we collectively we can't help the region.
All right, Congressman Raul Grijalva with us on the Friday Focus interview coming up on 12:30. Congressman, have a great weekend here in Southern Arizona.
Thank you so much. I will.
Thanks a lot.
Book,
Jim,
the book festival, I'm going to have a great
You're going to be on a panel with the folks from the nation.
Yes, and then I'm going to go listen to Chomsky as well. It's going to be fun. But the thing is that I will be, Mona and I will be buying books.
Oh,
I love
good.
That process.
And folks, we should say high school students can now send submissions to your congressional art challenge.
Thank you. That's so much fun. We and unbelievable talent. One of the highlights was when the Arizona School for the Deaf and Blind won the contest, and one of their artists. And it was a huge celebration at the school. I didn't understand the ramifications until I got there and understood how significant that was. So, you know, we welcome all the schools in the district, and it's usually really tough. I try to avoid it because I don't want to be responsible for picking them and then have to deal with it later.
All right. We'll be right back with our Friday roundtable right after this.
Goodwill of Southern Arizona spends 90 cents of every dollar supporting 5 youth programs, 5 adult programs, and over 500 full-time jobs. When you donate and shop with Goodwill, you strengthen our community by empowering children, adults, and people with barriers to employment. Friendly employees are ready to assist you with your donations at over 40 locations across Southern Arizona. Drop-off locations and more information are available at goodwillsouthernaz.org.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
Don Pooley.
You're
Janos Wilder.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Bill Harlow.
Great to see you.
Dave Barry.
I thought I just saw you.
Diana Cannon.
Thanks for coming.
Brenda Viner.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
John Feeney.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Hey, it's Brian Jeffries.
Aren't you?
Ryan Hansen.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where it is 12:35. It's time for our Friday roundtable. Jim Nintzel sticks around from our interview with Congressman Raul Grijalva, and also joining us in studio is Tim Steller of the Arizona Daily Star, columnist. Tim, how are you?
I'm breathing heavily. Just came charging in the door.
That's cool. That's cool. You made it just in time. Tom was playing Beach Boy music for us. Yeah,
left it on so long.
I think I did the same thing last week, Tim.
So. Well, anyway, the important thing is you are both here as we begin this segment. News this morning, Michael Ortega, the administrator in Cochise County, will be the new city manager. Tim, do you have any idea when he's supposed to start?
All I know is that they are, I think after the budget in Cochise County is approved in, at the end of June, I think, is the idea. Basically a typical end of fiscal year thing.
And blowback came, Jim, folks were saying, well, there were about 40 candidates that applied for this job, and there was the assistant city manager, a lady from Sierra Vista, and you had Mr. Ortega, and some were saying, why are they ready for kind of to step up to a major market after being in the so-called minor leagues?
There was that, and there was also concern about the process, that there wasn't enough citizen input, and Tim actually wrote about this, so I should turn it over to him, because I did not follow it as closely as he did, but there was definitely concern out there among people that there was not enough chance for the public to weigh in on this process.
Yeah, you know how Tucson is. I mean, everybody wants a big open process.
Hey, we're consensus city.
Consensus, right. Yeah. Everybody has to agree and feel included. No, but seriously, I mean, I think it's a real concern in the sense that they established a citizens committee that barely got any notice when it was going to meet. And then when it did meet, the consultant who was hired to pull together the candidates told them, just give us some pluses and minuses on the candidates and we'll pass them on to the council. And they said, essentially, heck no, we're going to tell you who we want.
Why have the committee in the first place?
Right. I mean, there was and then, of course, there was a public input session the night before. Mm-hmm. It was at 7:30 at City Hall, moderately attended. And I didn't get to go to that one. But there was a sense that it wasn't very Tucson, this process.
Well, anyway, the new city manager will be Mr. Ortega from Cochise County. We'll come back to this week in Tucson in a few minutes, but I want to talk, Jim, about the budget. The governor signs a historically lean $9.1 billion Arizona budget. We heard Congressman Grijalva not at all happy about it. A lot of folks not happy about this budget.
Yeah, I think there's much weeping and gnashing of teeth at this point about the budget. There's concerns from the education community that they did not follow through on actually spending as much as inflation and population growth would account for in our schools. There is concern from the universities of the $99 million cut they're taking. There's concern with the community colleges and the zeroing out of their state funding here and in Maricopa County. Certainly concern from the Children's Action Alliance about the cuts to a whole range of programs, including temporary aid to temporary assistance to needy families and foster care and a whole bunch of other programs that really help the folks on the lower end of the economic bracket.
We keep hearing, Tim, that this is a structurally balanced budget, but I think it was Robert Robb writing in The Republic saying, hey, this is, I don't think he said smoke and mirrors, but he said down the road we are still in the 2020s. He said the day of reckoning is going to come. We are going to have to raise revenue in this state.
Right. Well,
at some point.
The point is we have continuing need. Jim mentioned population growth. Just bring that into the equation, and you know that the idea of that we're going to keep cutting spending and still serve a growing population, it just doesn't make mathematical sense. I mean, yes, some efficiencies can be wrung out, but a lot of them have been wrung out already over the last 5 years. So, yeah, I mean, I don't see where the needs are going to, of the state, transportation needs, social service needs, I don't see where they're going to decline. You know, they're going to be increasing and along with population, and the revenue is on its way down.
And Bill, you mentioned Robb up at The Republic.
Yes.
And one of the things that he wrote in a column this week I thought was very insightful, and that was the fact that this whole process was rushed so quickly through that there were only a few days. These hearings were a sham, essentially, of just going through the motions and not really taking testimony. And
it was a 48-hour process.
Right.
It was embarrassing.
Robb wrote that, you know, this is not unusual for budgets to get rushed through at times, but that's generally like the very last step of the process. It's not the entire process. That in the past there'd been buy-in from the other players involved because at least they had a chance to say something, and they feel cheated of that chance, and that's delegitimizes the entire process.
Well, yeah, it was just quite an amazing spectacle that, yeah, they put together a deal, rush it through the committees, and then in encountering that there was going to be too much resistance, then having to cut deals with individuals all day Friday, and then bring together the different bodies at 11 o'clock at night and go all night Friday night into Saturday morning. I mean, it was early March when this was happening.
They cut a
What's
deal
the
with
rush?
The Democrat, I believe his name is Mr. Begay, on the Navajo reservation and promising goodies to get him to join in on this. And it's, I don't know.
And then they refer to it as a bipartisan budget when really more Republicans voted against the budget than Democrats voted actually for it. And you know, the Republic had an interesting editorial about just the way Ducey and his administration continue to spin everything. You know, the way they're saying it's a bipartisan budget, the way they're saying
they're
spending more
money
on education ever, and you know, on a pure per pupil basis, that's simply not true.
And Mark Killian, who is not you can't call him a flaming liberal by any means. Mark Killian served as a distinguished conservative Republican in the legislature. He is the chairman of the Board of Regents. He basically said at the Regents meeting, I think they're meeting in Flagstaff yesterday and today, he's had it. He said he didn't sign on to be on the Board of Regents to see basically higher education just completely dismantled.
But then again, that's what we voted for. You know, I mean, one thing you can say about Doug Ducey is that he's not doing anything that he didn't set out in his campaign.
Although I will say it wasn't he said, yes, we're going to the balance of budget, we're going to cut taxes. He didn't say we're going to cut the universities by $100 million. He didn't say we're going to cut K-12 spending by, whatever they've managed to reduce it by. And yes, they are spending more on K-12, but again, it's not keeping up with even the legal requirement of inflation. And if he had said those things on the campaign trail, we might have had a different – who knows? Maybe Arizonans would have embraced
it. And can any of you explain to me why the Pima Community College would be zeroed out when we need people in vocational training more than ever in this state, and we need to create jobs for these people?
Well, I talked to Lee Lambert this week. He'll actually be the guest on Zone of Politics next Sunday. I'll throw out a plug for my TV show.
Can I
show
plug
there.
It? Also, he'll be on my show on Wednesday. So
I don't have a show, but I might get one just so I can put Lee Lambert on.
Yeah.
So, you know, he said he had anticipated losing state funding eventually. Like he saw the writing on the wall and the state that the state's finances were in, and that but he anticipated a gradual withdrawal and a smoother glide path. And as far as what the lawmakers are thinking, that's a mystery.
Who knows?
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, it's going to be made up for by local taxpayers and tuition, right?
Right. Yep. They already raised tuition at Pima yesterday.
Right.
So. And so. Pretty much what they had to do. So they're taking care of their own situation, which we would expect them to do. Getting to your column, Tim, you had really some interesting columns. You profiled Mr. McLean, John McLean, one of the so-called leaders of the so-called pod people, homeless people downtown. Mr. McLean, you profiled him and said what? That
I
he
just
was
said,
neglecting his kids at home, basically.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I said that he has unpaid child support going back about 14 months, and that, you know, I've met his ex-wife and the kids, and, you know, they have a roof over their heads, but they don't, they're not rich at all. They're poor.
And he's hoping for a big payday in the suit against the city
right.
to help for the kids' to pay for the kids' future.
Right. Lawsuit lottery.
I thought that was a great column by Tim. And I think actually Tim had a number of good columns this week, including his piece
today.
On the pod people today.
So. Yeah, yeah. The judge, Stellar Judge's scolding shows need for change in Tucson. So I guess Judge David Bury wasn't all that happy with the city.
Yeah, well, they've been blaming his ruling, his December 22nd ruling, I guess it was a temporary restraining order. They've been citing that as a reason they couldn't do anything about the pods and the tents that have been set up downtown. And I think, I imagine his frustration has been building all these weeks and months. And finally, he got a chance to express them and said, hey, it's not my fault. You guys deal with, you guys use your ordinances how you want. I didn't say anything about pods being an expression of free speech or anything like that. And I think it was helpful for the public here to hear him say that, because it showed what I've been suspecting, and I think a lot of people have been thinking around town, which is that the city's been rather wishy-washy or impotent in its reaction. Then again, as soon as the judge clarified that point, the city went out and put notices of removal on all the pods, and they're supposed to be removed today.
Is there a debt? Do we know if they're?
I can't remember the time. It's at some point today.
I asked Councilman.
Sundown.
Yeah, I asked Councilman Fimbrace when he was on the show. Are we expecting these people the pod people to go peacefully? So hopefully they will.
Well, one good thing, and I will hand it to the city on this, is that they have had social service people and police officers and others out there every day, I think more than once a day, talking to each of these individuals, trying to, you know, get them another route if they don't have one already that is a route to take to shelter or services. But, you know, inevitably there will be some who don't want that or will still be there when the deadline hits.
Is anything going to come of this charter change talk, Jim Nintzel?
Certainly may. You know, I think the problem with charter changes is that they're not exactly the kind of thing. They're not kitchen table issues that people care significantly about. So
people care about their roads.
They do. They're worried more about the potholes, and they're worried about their schools. They're not so worried about whether the city has ward only elections or citywide elections or what have you. I wouldn't say that these changes are unimportant. I would just say that it's hard to focus the attention of the public on ramifications of these kind of inside baseball stuff.
And you wrote about that today in the column as well.
Yeah, I was at Udall Center last night for a little while the Charter Review Committee had a public hearing. And I mean, while it's, I'm sure it's true that the general populace doesn't care much about ward-only elections, for example, I'll tell you, that is the number one thing on the mind of the people who showed up at the Udall Center. And among the people who do care, it is a big issue. It's just that, it's just a question of whether their caring means that it can pass, you know, because we, in the past, these have failed repeatedly, these efforts at charter reform.
And the way it, this goes back to the 20s, actually, the current situation.
You know, you try to explain to people how the city's elections work, and you go into, well, there's the primary election, right, which is within the ward where you select the nominees, and then there's the general election, which is city. And you know, I try to explain it to my students at the U of A who are taking my government reporting class, and they're baffled, you know, as we talk about this stuff. And I suspect a lot of people in Tucson feel the same way.
Okay, I got about a minute and a half. How about political rumors? Who, I keep hearing Bruce Wheeler is considering running for United States representative to challenge Wheeler, of course, state lawmaker, Democrat, challenging Martha McSally.
Yes, I talked to Bruce about that. He has established a committee. He is interested in doing that. I also understand that Matt Hines recently left his job with the federal government. He ran against Ron Barber a couple of years ago. I think he's still interested in running for this seat. You hear the name Nan Walden tossed around.
From down in Green Valley.
You hear Lisa Lavallo's name, although she's doing an event with Martha McSally today. So I don't know if there's much fire in her belly at this point. I think we were here with Steve Farley when he said he was not interested,
right,
in running again or trying to run for Congress.
I think Steve Farley just wants to stay in his career of doing battle with Andy Biggs on the Senate floor for evermore.
Yeah,
limits may put a crimp in that plan.
Maybe they can switch back and forth to the House and Senate together.
Clean elections, guys, is that going to be will the voters be asked to renew that on the ballot?
That legislation died in the Senate, and then it came back to life and passed. It still has to get through the House. And
Or bad, clean elections, your opinion?
You know, I think it has a mixed impact. I think it did empower a lot of folks on the right wing who were kept in check by the business community in the past. But on the other hand, the amount of money that's pouring into politics right now is staggering the imagination. And I think – but on the – and counter that, you know, the amount of money you get for clean elections does not really it's not enough to really wage a successful campaign statewide anymore.
Tim, final thought?
Well, yeah, the other thing about the commission that's interesting is that they have functioned as a regulatory body. And for me, that's one of the benefits, the useful sides of having clean elections, that they can watch over campaigns and election spending, that kind of thing.
And the lawmakers aren't happy about the movement in that direction at all.
Right, which is one reason to like it.
Yes, exactly.
Jim, you're going to be at the book festival?
Book festival, yeah. 10 a.m. tomorrow with Rick Perlstein and Leonard Pitts and Ian Hanley Lopez talking about racism in politics. I'll be sure to ask them if they think President Obama loves the country in the same way that they do.
Is that a ticketed event?
It's everything's free at the book festival, but you can do reserve tickets, but I think they're all been snatched up.
Yeah, and the Star's got quite a presence.
Oh my God.
As always, it's all over the place.
Massive,
huge.
It's a massive tent, and I'll be introducing David Marinus, speaker of who's an author of many biographies and other books, 2:30 tomorrow, I believe it is.
Cool.
And I'll be wandering, as most of us will be, I imagine.
Jim,
big kudos to the
Star. Off. You had a second.
Our old colleague Peter Michaels has invited me to moderate a second panel at 11:30 on Sunday with former Congressman Mickey Edwards some folks from the Center for Civil Discourse talking about basically dysfunction in politics.
Tell Peter hello for me.
I will.
All right, gentlemen, thanks. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
All right, back with Weekend Watch with Matt Russell right after this.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun. It's all right here.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine. Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us. How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit CoxBusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit CoxBusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, the Monday Political Face-Off featuring commentators John Munger and Vince Robigo, plus an update on March Madness from sports guy Anthony Jimeno. Buckmaster each weekday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and always on buckmastershow.com for anywhere in the world live streaming, podcasts, and show archive. Weekend Watch, hosted by Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist and Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. You know, it's just 3 hours to Silver City. What a great weekend getaway this would be this time of year. Wonderful places to stay, like Faywood Hot Springs Ranch and Casitas de Gila Guest Houses, Little Toad Creek Inn. You can find the full listing of places to stay and the many things to do in historic city, Silver City, at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now Matt Russell. Matt, we are eagerly awaiting your top three weekend picks on the Buckmaster Show.
Absolutely, Bill. You know, reporting on new restaurant openings has nearly become a full-time job here at the Weekend Watch. And this week is no exception with the opening of a new pizza place called Z Pizza up in Oro Valley. Now, this menu is full of designer pizzas and sandwiches and the like, with an emphasis on vegan and vegetarian items. But perhaps the biggest thing that sets it apart is a do-it-yourself tap room where guests can help themselves to a lineup of beers on tap. Now, the system is activated by a special wristband that you wear that carefully keeps track of your consumption. I think Z Pizza sounds like a fun outing for this weekend, Bill.
Yeah, it sounds like better than the honor system, right? It is book festival time. A lot of folks in town for that.
Yeah, it should come as no surprise that one of my favorite events at the festival is the culinary program.
A parade of
local and national foodie celebrities are ready for action this weekend. Some of the local stars who are going to be feeding guests at the festival are Frankie Santos of Frankie's South Philly Cheesesteaks and Ben Ryan of Brush Fire Barbecue. And from the national stage, public television star Steve Raiklin will be giving a talk on man-made meals from his Essential Cookbook for Guys. I say bring your hunger to the Tucson Festival of Books this weekend. Roll up your sleeves and have a great time.
Yeah, and then take your meal to the man cave, I guess.
Exactly.
What do we got at St. Philip's Plaza?
Yeah, we all remember in mathematics, pi refers to the number 3.1415, mm-hmm. making March 14th of 2015 Pi Day. And the Flying Leap Winery's tasting room in St. Philip's Plaza is hosting a celebration to enjoy a little Arizona wine with some freshly baked pies. Now, that's my kind of pairing, Bill. It all starts tomorrow at 9 a.m. and goes all day long, so celebrate pie in style at the Flying Leap tasting room. Now, Bill, I'm a classic cherry pie kind of guy. What about you?
Coconut cream, my friend.
That's my boy.
sounds like a great weekend, lots of activities. Can you give us a quick preview of your Inside Tucson Business column?
Absolutely. You know, my mother always told me that breakfast was the most important meal of the day, and when I heard that Tucson's newest breakfast menu was rolling out at a pizza joint, imagine pizza for breakfast. Read all about it in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Till next Friday, have a great weekend.
Thanks, Bill.
The Bill Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our team, Ed Alexander, Tom Fairbanks, Ray Allen, and, of course, my executive assistant, Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and a safe weekend, and reminding you, if you need any kind of auto care, and who doesn't, Mike Emery and the team at Perfection Auto Works. It's perfectionautoworks.com for all of your foreign and domestic car needs. Until Monday at 12:04, Tom and I wish you a wonderful and safe weekend.